when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart. Ready?
Good morning, cocklickers. Namaste, cocksuckers. Joey Coco Diaz, Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew, the Church of What's Happening Now is back. Happy Monday, cocksuckers. Thank you very much for making a comeback. Skinny Finney's here. Going to say hello. Say hello, cocksucker. That's right. That's right, cocksucker. Say hello again. All right. Get the fuck out. I love you. Stay black. What's happening, you beautiful cocksuckers? We're here. Fresh Monday morning. Positively, you want to open that door and let this pig out before me. Over here, smoking dope, drinking green tea. Fucking Bert Kreischer got me back on the green tea ever since he got on his cleanse, right?
So, oh, yeah. He lost like 20 pounds in like a few weeks.
Yeah, no. He's on a fucking roll now. He's over in Chicago trip-flipping, sweating bullets every time he walks past a hot beef fucking sandwich because that's what he really wants. You know what I'm saying? Lee Syatt, where the fuck you been? Flying around the city with your little fucking yarmulke on, cocksucker?
You know how I do. I gotta get a yarmulke. I've been slipping the past couple weeks.
What are you going to do, brother? It's Monday. It's a beautiful day to be alive. I got to tell you something, Lee. I went to fucking Minneapolis last week.
Yeah, you said it was amazing.
You know, man, we live in California, and it's beautiful here. The sun, the weed, and all that shit. But here's the problem with the Midwest that I love. Here's the only problem with the Midwest. The fucking food is so good.
The food is so good.
And I'll tell you what else, you know? Like, from the 30 years of smoking, you know, snorting coke and sniffing assholes and shit and eating ass, my fucking senses and my nose have gone away. I can't.
Oh, okay.
There's times I can taste food. There's times I can't taste food. When you go to the Midwest and you eat, like when you eat a steak, Lee, the fucking steak is a steak. And it tastes like a steak. Like here in L.A., you go to Dantana's, you go to a great steakhouse. Yeah, you pay $80, it's a fucking great steak. In the Midwest, you get a steak for $10, and it's fucking delicious.
Yeah, they do what you should do. Yeah. You get a good piece of meat, and you put it over a charcoal, and that's it.
Delicious. The fucking eggs. You could taste the eggs in the fucking, like, when you, the egg yolks were huge. They looked like big fucking nipples from the 60s. Because in the 60s, women had bigger fucking nipples. Now they got the little teeny ones that look like a half a finger. It must be something in the fucking water in the cup. But they're fucking huge, and the butter is richer. You just apples. Something as simple as fucking apples. Here, you get like half and half. It's tough to be a fat fuck and eat fruit because you really can't gauge it. Sometimes I buy peaches at night, and not peaches, but the things, the red ones with a lot of hair on them, whatever the fuck, plums, whatever. I buy them at night, and then the fucking next day from the supermarket, they're fucking bad. So you got to go to the farmer's market on Friday or something. There, they were giving away apples at the hotel that were so delicious. But when I went to do radio, the girl at the radio, the Tom Bernard show, fucking gave me two different types of apples from her parents' farm. And she gave me these apples that she's like, people pay a high dollar for these. Wait till you taste this. Whoa. When you bit into it, the fucking juice was everywhere. It was sweet. It would drip down your face like a fucking soldier. I mean, so it's just so different. And I like to admit, a lot of people in California will be like, well, I'm from the East Coast, and the food sucks here, the food's bad. I tell you what, I go to the East Coast, and it's the fucking shitty, too. The fucking pizza's made by fucking Arabs. It's the same fucking shit. And I got nothing against Arabs, but you motherfuckers don't make pizza, okay?
Yeah.
And you go back east, and it's the same shit. And now, it's like, for me, one of the best places to eat is Houston, fucking Texas. It's a fat motherfucker.
Oh, I've never been there.
Oh, you have. First of all, the portions fucking kill you. There's no Weight Watchers in Texas. They'll kill those motherfuckers. They usually put Weight Watchers in Texas over an all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurant. And they got tons of them down there. But the Houston, more people go out to dinner in Houston than anywhere else in the fucking country. And when you go to Houston and eat, you realize why. First off, you and your wife could eat for fucking $20.
Yeah.
And take two things home with you. You go to fucking Houston, you got Chewy's, you got fucking Carrabba's, and that's the mother base one. Not those fucking white satellites they put all over the country where they ask you if you want manicotti. Not that shit. I'm talking about in fucking Carrabba's in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking jack you up. They got this Blueberry Hill. I used to call it Blueberry Hill. Berry Hill fucking tamales. That's where the Rolling Stones get tamales from. When the Rolling Stones went to Houston, they fucking went. When you do a show in local cities, all the restaurants get to bring you food. And supposedly Berry Hill brought these tamales. It's where fucking ZZ Top used to go to. Fucking tremendous. They have these tamales. So ZZ Top brought the tamales to the Stones. And he was telling me the story. The guitar player was telling me the story. The El Compadre, where it all goes down in Hollywood, because I had a hat on one time from Berry Hill.
Okay.
And the guy, the guitar player from ZZ Top was at El Compadre. I was there doing... El Compadre is a fucking restaurant in Hollywood, but everything goes down there. I've seen Lindsay Lohan there. I've seen a bunch of people down there, if you get what I'm talking about. You follow me? Fucking snort. Are you kidding me or what? They sell, I think they make $8 million a year selling margaritas and $22 million selling blow down there. They have a little guitar player that comes by and you throw like a 20 into the hole in the guitar and he opens up his arm and a Coke rock falls on him. Right. Fucking tremendous Mexican restaurant. I seen him in there one night and he seen the hat. He told me the story that he, when the Stones played in Houston, he brought him the fucking tamales. And that Mick Jagger loved them so much that when they went to Australia, Berry Hill sent them the tamale stores because they ship overnight. And when they went to Las Vegas one year, they shipped the fucking tamales. But anyway, back to food. It's so weird how I went to Nashville like a month and a half ago. Great fucking city. And again, I got a slice of pizza, Lee. That would have fucking killed the horse. It was so delicious in Nashville. And a black guy made it, and a white wife. He had a white wife. He was from Buffalo. The fucking pizza was tremendous. I had a, what else? Oh, barbecue. A barbecue's, you know, that's what it was invented in fucking Nashville.
Yeah.
But it's so weird now, like, I didn't have any idea. I knew them. Bro, I was in Denver for fucking 15 years in Boulder, so I knew that the food was great, but it didn't come along. Now, there's good food all over this fucking country. But absolutely. The point of the story being that the Midwest just has that real... It tastes real. Here, I think we get like the bottom of the fucking barrel. They're like, you guys got weed, we'll send you the shitty fucking meat or whatever.
I mean, they have to ship it in trucks all the way from everywhere across the country because nothing grows here. So, I mean, it makes sense that we're not going to get the best quality stuff.
But I thought we got like strawberries and shit here.
I mean, maybe Northern California.
Yeah, on the way up, you see strawberries and, you know, cherries and all that shit. But no fucking farms around here, no cows and nothing like that. I mean, you know, I'm scared of fucking animals. I see a cow, I run. You know that, right?
You don't like cows?
I always think that when I'm around them, they're going to fucking turn around and just bulldoze me like one of those matadors in España.
Oh, my God. So you like cats, but you just don't like big animals? Or is that it? Or?
They just look at you weird. You ever run the fucking cow, how they just look at you and they eat whatever, and you're like, well, maybe they're thinking about eating my fat ass. Dog, I'm fat. I'm insecure. I see an animal that's bigger than me. I don't need that shit. He's looking at me going, that motherfucker's a good eater. I can tell he's a good eater.
I think I just haven't been as high around cows as you've been around cows. Cause
you would look at a girl and you say, that girl's got good pussy. How do you know? You just assume. The cow might look at us and say, that motherfucker tastes good. You follow me? Speaking of taste, it's that time, Lee. Bang fucking chocolate, the church of what's happening. Now, how are you going to get up on a Monday? Go out there and tackle the fucking world ahead of you if you're not prepared, Lee. You follow me? A soldier don't go out without a fucking gun or a knife or a bayonet or a fucking dart, something. Here you go, bang chocolate, 3-strength, fucking fire opening up.
That's not a bayonet. That's the atomic bomb.
Oh, stop it. This is fine. I go out there and fucking drive on my bicycle. You follow me?
Yeah, the last time I saw you eat that, you were saluting Clint Eastwood behind you.
What are you going to do? The guy's checking in. What are you going to fucking do? That's the outlaw Josie Wales. We got to salute him every fucking morning.
That's true. Good point.
I don't know who showed up to the Democratic or the Republican convention. That poor guy was old as fuck. Maybe he's still medically. He said, I don't give a fuck, bro. He went down there. He did what he did. He didn't even know. He was talking to a puppet.
He wasn't even. It was just a chair.
Doesn't matter. He did the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah.
And he did
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry. And he did something else I really enjoyed. He did a bunch of shit I really enjoyed. Last night was funny because, you know, when I travel, I can't fucking fall asleep. I can't sleep in those rooms. And my fan broke.
Oh, Jesus.
The last night. So I got to bring the air conditioner has to be down, and then I got to bring a fan with me for the fucking noise. And the fan broke Saturday night. So last night I tried to lay down. I got a little stoned, you know. After I saw you, I tried to work out a little. I went for a walk, and I fucking couldn't sleep.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that happens a lot.
And I had a lot on my mind, and I got up, and Death Wish was just starting on Sundance. Bronson at his best, 1971 or something. I started watching him. Goldblum's in it.
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum plays one of the muggers. I know he was in one of them. I didn't know which one. But it's funny how, as a kid, I thought they killed his wife. He got a gun and he started shooting fucking Puerto Ricans. No! Wasn't like that. I seen New York last night. I caught the whole fucking thing. I love to watch a movie and to learn something. Especially after I've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
80 times. After I see a movie 80 times and I watch a movie and I see something, it fucking blows me the fuck away. And it was so funny because his wife and his daughter get raped. you know, the brother-in-law who's a half a fuck, the son-in-law who's half retarded calls him up and says, hey, you know, my mom and your daughter got raped, whatever. They get to the hospital. Doctor tells him the daughter's okay, but the mother's dead. Charles Bronson killed his wife. But I forgot that he went to Tucson to see some dude, and the dude was teaching him how to shoot and shit. And the dude kept saying, dog, get out of the city. Move down here to Tucson. But before he left, he put a gun in his suitcase.
Okay.
You know, he was in Texas. He was a fucking crazy motherfucker in Texas. That's why I love him. They don't give a fuck. He snuck a gun in his suitcase. Right? And when he got to New York, he seen the gun. And he goes out. And that's what I caught. When he went out the first night, he's standing by the... He's standing in a park. I don't know which park it is. And the guy comes up to him. He's give him my wallet, motherfucker. And he shoots that guy, and you see his face when he shoots him. Everybody says Charles Bronson wasn't a good actor or whatever. I caught a lot last night. He shoots him, and he goes home, and when he gets home, he looks at his hand, and he's crying. He can't believe he killed somebody. I had never thought that. I always thought that he was a killer from the start. They showed him becoming a killer. They showed him hating it and then enjoying it.
That's what makes a good movie.
That's what makes a good fucking movie. They really showed him... you know, evolving. Like, he goes home after the first shot, and he fucking gets on his hands and knees, and he cries, and he can't believe he does it. But then he wants to give it another try. Yeah. It's like going to jiu-jitsu the first time. It's like going to a gym and being a fat fuck. I don't really like it, but I'll come back until I like it.
Yeah, that's where all these movies are coming from now, like the Takens and all that, all those movies. So it's interesting to watch the 70s or whatever.
Let me explain something. The fucking Taken. Somebody did that. I watched Battleship on the plane out of... Oh,
was
my
screen
fucking God. Oh, my God, America. If you paid and went to that movie, they should beat you. They should fucking beat you for you fucking idiots. Oh, my
it
God.
It didn't make sense to me. It looked like Transformers, but
oh
it was like about the battleship
God,
game.
We're in bad shape. We're fucking bad, bad, bad. The movies have been horrific this month of September. Look at the numbers. They're not even telling you because the movies are so fucking bad.
And it's worse because it's like the worst month or whatever in the history, but that's with more expensive tickets. So even with the costing more, they're making less money.
It's fucking brutal to watch these movies sometimes. I can't stand these new movies. I can't. I watch two or three movies a fucking year. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, unless somebody talks me into it. Like, I watched The Girl with the Golden Gun. What was her name? The Girl with the Green fucking
With the Dragon Tattoo?
That I watched that. I watched the one about... the kid who was born with a leaf with Jennifer Gardner.
Oh, that's no, I haven't seen that.
That's a Disney movie. You know, my wife's pregnant. What do you mean? I can't take her to fucking shoot him up, Harry. You know, she's pregnant. The kid will do backflips in the fucking groin, whatever the fuck it is. Hey, remind me today. I got a call from one of my brothers. It's called.
Oh, this is great.
We got some great calls this week. So Wednesday, we got Martin Perez. His father was Batista's driver in Cuba. Me and Martin grew up in the seventh grade. He disappeared and. I never knew what happened. And then one day I was doing a show at the Miami Improv and Martin showed up. This motherfucker that's calling today, his name is Frankie Balzano.
Oh, shit.
This is Carmine Balzano's son that I have kept in touch with over the years. You know, they had four boys and one of them died in the eighth grade. And that made me tighter with the family. But it was crazy. I was telling Lee yesterday, I go, Lee, you know how a kid's got a... Fuck, that chocolate got pepper in it today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's the fire. They put a... It's orange and a little fucking pepper in there. So it's like a pepper chocolate. Something for white people. They like all this shit when they can smooth around. Oh, my God, this chocolate is delicious. Speaking of white people, I'm going to tell you what bothers me the most in the fucking world. I'm Spanish. I was born Spanish. I love everything about it. I love the food. I love the heritage. I love the culture. But once you get to California, that's where it turns because... All of a sudden, they have, like, these Alma Awards and all this.
Oh,
Latin
yeah,
Grammy Awards
me.
And People Latino. That shit has always... The top 10 influential spics in the country. Andy Garcia. It's the same fucking lineup. Like, Gloria makes the list twice. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be a good award show. Top 10 most influential.
Yeah, the fucking most influential Latino. These fucking spics. Let me tell you something. I'm a fucking Cuban. And I was raised Cuban. I like Mexicans. I like all Spanish people. You know, whatever. I love them. I love it. I love all that shit. But once you move to L.A., it's like they want to be fucking, you know, like Republicans. They want to act like Mitt Romney with the fucking hair, dude. They're all gathering around. Oh, come on, star. And they kiss each other in the cheeks twice. And then the biggest bunch of fucking pukes. Mm-hmm. You know, like nobody ever called me. I got the longest shot. And also, like, four Latin organizations called me. Hispanic, whatever of America. Come join us. And I went to one thing. I had a drive to, like, Universal City. I walked in. And I walked out. Yeah. I didn't want to be around. Because, you know, it's like when we had Steve Bauer on the Beauty and the Beast. We were talking. I was asking him about his upbringing. And I felt out of place. Like, I'm from the crazy-ass fucking Cuban Santeria. My father's into numbers. My mother was into numbers. My stepfather was with an Abacua. They shot people. Usually, Cubans are pretty cool. Like, if you go to Pasadena, I've talked about this before. They got those Cubans that don't know they had black blood in their fucking... They got black blood.
Oh, you were telling me they called the Congo?
Yeah, they call the Congo and shit in Cuba. They're the racist motherfuckers in the world. But there's white Cubans that don't know that they got black blood. And every time you remind them, they have a fucking heart attack. They have a... You put, like, mambo music on, like, Patata Totico, they'll lose their fucking mind. You know, turn it off. We don't want it. Even a reminder. It's who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
But these motherfuckers out here, and it's Mexicans, too. Like, I love Mexicans. My gang, Gabriel Felipe Esparza, Willie Barcena. Who, Willie Barcena, his,
Showtime
special, Showtime special. And, you know, I know these fucking guys. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Mexican. I mean, Mexicans got the fucking beard, and they had those leather things with the bullets in them and shit. Viva Zapata, pa, 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 pa. You know, when I seen them in the fucking Clint Eastwood with the fucking, what do you call that shit, with the poncho and the gun, all that stuff. It has so much rich culture. But when you meet them at those fucking Alma Awards, you see all these little Spanish people that play on TV, they up it up even more. Like, there's people that aren't even Spanish. Like, they have like a 12% Spanish. Their grandmother blew a fucking Argentinian in a fucking shit, right? A fucking ship ride somewhere, and they'll cop to being Spanish just to be able to go to those award shows.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden they find this Jew blood in them. Oh my God, did I tell you I'm 12% Jewish?
I see them in a new award show every week.
Yeah, every fucking week. It's the biggest bunch of fake fucking Puerto Ricans I've ever seen in my life. And I like Puerto Ricans, I like Cubans, and they're going to be pissed at me, but it's the truth. When you see these motherfuckers in these award shows, they're fucking Spanish, but they're trying to act like fucking Republicans. They're trying to make believe like they're in Beverly fucking Hills, and at the end of the week, you're fucking not. At the end of the weekend, not. You know, you got to be accept who the fuck you are. You know, I'm Cuban. You know, I look fucking Jewish. I look fucking Italian. I look all this shit, but I don't give a fuck. I'm who the hell I am. I don't have to go to those award things to prove my love for Latin fucking culture. I love more, and I am the fucking culture elite. You mix a little fucking Jewish in there, forget about it. They can't stop us. I'm like Maya Lansky and Ricky Ricardo put together. The fuck are you think you're kidding, cocksucker? What happened? What time is he's going to call up?
It's in about 4 minutes. Oh, God, we woke up the dog. But no, it's true. Like, you show more by sticking with the culture and that at home than when they go to the award shows and they go up to mariachi music and say hola.
Yeah, they're super. All of a sudden, they're more Spanish than anybody, and that's always destroyed my fucking inside. And I didn't know it was like that till I got fired from Telemundo.
How did you get fired from Telemundo?
My first fucking job I booked for after was a Telemundo, some Spanish show on Telemundo. And I went up there. I did good in the audition. But when I went up there, it was Cubans. It was the uncle from the George Lopez show. He recurred years later as the uncle.
Okay.
I went up there, and when I sat at the table and I spoke, they're like, where are you from? They were like Miami Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, where are you from? I'm like, Union City, bitch.
Bitch.
And these motherfuckers looked at me. And then we started talking in Spanish, and my Spanish was too fast for them. My Spanish was too fucking, like, Cubanazo, as they call it for them.
Yeah, because you actually learned from someone who was from Cuba.
Right, and it was funny that when I came back at lunch, they fired me. And I could see they wouldn't look me in the eye. But I didn't give a fuck. They paid for my after.
Oh, okay.
Yo! They paid me like $1,000. After was like $800. So after taxes, I think I had to throw in another $100. Now I was made after. So they did me a fucking favor. I didn't really want to be there. Okay. Sometimes people do you a fucking favor. You don't even know they're doing you a fucking favor. But I just didn't want to be around those people. I felt very insecure. I would go over and go, how do I want to be around these Cuban people? Because they thought they were fucking high. My mother's maiden name is Valdez. My father's a Diaz. My fucking maiden name, Valdez, those are bloodsuckers. They were 9 people in a fucking house. They grew up poor.
Yeah.
But the Diazes, they were rich. They were from Camaway. And when I met the grandmother, she was very snooty. When they have, like, Spain blood, and they think their shit don't stink. I'll smack you, you dumb motherfucker. We're from fucking a real Cuba, and you're showing up and you're, go suck my fucking dick. I don't need that shit. Fucking everybody got to want to be a fucking, everybody wants to be a star, Leland. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers. What else, cocksucker? I'm going to have to take another hit here. I'm stoned.
No, it's unbelievable. We were taught, and it's just the culture of fakes, and the iPhone's coming out, and people are going to be lined up around the block for that, and it's just, it's unbelievable.
That was a hell of a oh my God, that one hit the bottom of the fucking lung. I got to go to Dr. Amy and make a stick of fucking needle in the bottom to chase all this shit out, but I just never thought that I'd see phonies like that with Spanish people. I never saw it growing up, and I never thought I'd see it, but when you go to those events, oh my God. So it's so hard. They're trying to be Latin, but they're really being fucking WASPs.
Yeah.
And when you go, you're like, what's the point of making believe that you're representing a culture if you're trying to fucking act like a different culture? Be yourself. That's the bottom fucking line. What's the music today? A little Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath on a Monday. For years when I woke up, Lee, and I was heartbroken, this is the song that always got me together, reminding me of where the fuck I lived, why I was getting up in the morning. You follow what I'm saying to me?
Yeah.
A little Sabbath, Bloody right there, Frisbee.
YouTube is fucking up.
Don't blame it on YouTube, cocksucker. Check and see for this kid to call, dog. Here you go. He's calling.
No, he's not.
You sure? You can tell right there, cocksucker.
Yeah.
What else did you do this weekend, Lee? I got to tell you what else happened this weekend real quick.
Okay.
When I went to Minneapolis, I did a podcast for a guy named Tom Bernard.
Oh, that was great. If you haven't listened to it, it's great.
If you haven't listened to Tom, I didn't even know who the fuck Tom Bernard was. And they contacted me, and I went to Minneapolis, and they said, you know, you're in good hands. Everybody was like, you're doing Tom Bernard? This guy's fucking bad. And what I didn't know was it's one of the markets where they threw out Stern.
Oh, wow.
Stern's not there. Because this guy beat the fuck out of him, supposedly. I don't know what the numbers were or whatever. So I go to the fucking guys. At first, I got to do the radio station that he does. He does, like, a regular radio show.
Yeah.
On Minneapolis. I do that. And then I have to go to his house to do the podcast.
Wow.
He had the fucking Tony. Remember where Tony Montana went to meet the Colombian?
Yeah.
That's the type of house he had.
Oh.
Bad motherfucker. Fucking a lake in the backyard. Fucking beautiful. Just a beautiful fireplace. His wife was beautiful. His whole family was there. He had like fucking four other people on the podcast. And it's just, I miss all that fucking home feeling sometimes. That's what I yearn for out here. That family home fucking feeling.
Yeah, he must be around them all day because I listen and he says he does the radio show from home. So he never has to leave his house.
No. He's like a Lycus in Minneapolis, but you had to see his fucking house, how gorgeous it was. And he had a lake in his fucking backyard. How nice would it be to invite somebody over for dinner? They say something wrong, you stab them, and you put them in a carpet and throw them in the fucking lake where they belong. I mean, it's just such a fucking great... And the guy, his family, you know, the guy called me on Saturday, and he goes, you know, I've been on the road. I know what it is to be alone. If you want to go eat something today or tomorrow, just the hospitality. So please keep supporting Tom Bernard. I mean, what a fucking sweetheart of a guy. And he's my type of guy. Like, he's paying my fucking dues for me because we did the podcast, and then he was headed to go do a thing for nuns. And 30 years early, you know, I choked the fucking nun. So now he went over. What's going on, Lee?
He's not calling.
Because if I'm talking to you, you're not looking at me. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. You're looking at some guy's comments.
No, I'm just waiting for the call, man.
All right, brother, because I don't know what you're doing over there.
Sorry.
You're making me nervous. You're looking at the fucking thing like, you know, somebody took your thing. Uh-oh, Lee reminded me today. The occupiers are coming out. Those fucking half of momos. But you know what? They're going to come out and go right back in once the iPhone goes out on sale.
Yeah.
So it don't matter. That's why they're just preparing to stand online. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I read an article. It's like the one-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's the one-year anniversary.
And in Boston, they still have meetings, but like four people show up and they're all 65.
Fuck. These guys couldn't fucking commit to nothing. This is like the Deadheads had more commitment to these fucking jerk-offs. They really did. The Deadheads had more commitment since these filthy motherfuckers.
Yeah. Because
the same thing happened in LA. It started great. They were marching around. The TV cameras came down there. Comics started going down there. It was a big fucking media outlet. And what happened? They didn't do nothing.
The cameras left.
And I gave them ideas. I said, this is what you got to do. You got to hit these motherfuckers in the pocket. You got to fucking take one corporation every day and take them to the fucking cleaners. Don't use them. You know, if they want to charge for luggage or whatever the fuck it is that they want to do, just don't use them. That's what you do. But they went down there for 6 days and they stopped taking showers. They were smoking dope. Then the iPhone came out and the trust fund check came in. And bam!
Yeah.
There they are, back standing online on the fucking iPhone. This country's starting to stand. They love. You know, when I was a kid, you didn't stand online for dick. Dick. Okay? Now, a fucking movie, you people love standing online like you fucking Russians. What's next? You want to stand online for toilet paper, you fucking saps? I've never stood online. I don't believe in fucking standing online. Even at an airport yesterday, even if I have a regular plane ticket, I go through fucking first class. I'm not gonna throw you. Yeah, they're not going to throw you. I just say, I didn't know. What the fuck is wrong with you? You guys pay attention. Bro, when I go through an airport, I go in and out of that fucking airport. Because I'll buy like a thing. Like I'll buy like early boarding.
Okay.
I'll buy like the bigger seats. But I'll confuse it. I'll go up and go, oh, I didn't know. They're not going to send you back. Once you're in line, you think they're going to send you back? No, they process you, and now you got you go through. What the fuck is wrong with people? You don't stand on line. You never stand on fucking line. We're all pimps. The fuck is wrong with people? We don't stand on line for nobody. Yeah. Unless they got a gun to you. Let's go to this club and go VIP. Are you fucking kidding me? I go to Vegas sometimes. I see these momos waiting on line to bar. The one that kills me the most is that restaurant on Sunset, on Fairfax, the breakfast place. With all these fake fucking people, the same Spanish people who go to those awards, they call their white buddies, and they go over to the fucking breakfast. Guys, did you people know in L.A., people stand on line for breakfast? Huge lines. And here's where it gets better. Right across the street, there's a bagel place that'll make a fucking lox bagel for you, that'll make your head spin with nice onions and the, you know, real fucking juice shit. These dumb fucks wait on line 45 minutes because years ago, what's her name?
Marilyn Monroe.
No, fucking Marilyn Monroe wasn't alive, you dumb fuck. The other one, you fuck.
I don't know.
The chick with Lindsay Lohan ate breakfast in there before court.
Okay.
So they fucking went there, and the cameras took it. So now all these tourists go there in the morning. They stand on line. And listen, the breakfast is okay at best, you know?
And it's probably
eggs.
Yeah, it's eggs.
It's fucking eggs, these fucking idiots. It's eggs. And people stand on line with their newspapers like they're going to do something big. Don't stand on line, guys. We don't do that shit. We're the motherfucking United States. These idiots that go to clubs with their girlfriends and wait to get picked and all this dumb shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's one thing I've never understood. I don't like going to a club and waiting 45 minutes and going. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And these people who go to, you go to Vegas, you go to these fucking clubs. Like sometimes Joe, and after a fight, they'll go, let's go up here. We got to invite. And I go up to these people at these clubs. I wouldn't let them in 20 fucking years ago. Bunch of housewives and shit dancing all fat guy. What the fuck are you doing here? You're in no danger. Go back to your room and play Monopoly.
Yeah.
You're in no fucking danger. You're just taking a butt. Whatever. They'll take a dollar from fucking anybody and let them in today. Who gives a fuck? They been calling you?
No, not yet.
It's just crazy. What's up?
Before he calls, this thing happened, and we talk a lot about people who do things to get in their own way. And I for people who know, I work on a TV show, and one of my bosses quit on Saturday night. He just quit. He wasn't coming back. And the reason he quit was, and I like him, he said he got mad because our boss wanted us at our desk at 5 o'clock when we get there, starting to work. And he's like, oh, this is the entertainment industry. Show up within half an hour, and you just enjoy it as long as we get our work done. And I agree with him in a way, but who quit the job because your boss wants you there when you start to work? And just the people in this town are weird. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
First of all, it's fucking brilliant you brought that up, because when in this town especially, it's all about images and appearances, okay? God forbid these fucking momos. First of all, they love running late to break your balls in this town.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got the longest shot, people saying to me, when you go to these meetings, an agent particularly goes, get there 15 minutes late. That's the way to do it. Make them wait for you.
I hate that.
And, you know, it's all great, but whatever. But inside of me, something was wrong. And I did it like once or twice. I didn't like it because I don't like people being late to fucking meet me. You know?
Yeah.
And then I started going to meetings, and people were late to meet me. And it was like, oh, sorry, the traffic. And one day I went to this meeting for like Fox or something,
mm-hmm.
this young kid for Fox 21. And I remember he came in with that story. And I said something to him. I'm like, dog, the meeting was at fucking 10 o'clock. It's 10:35. Really? Really? The 405 was that fucking packed? You live in California. You know you got to plan time ahead. So I did the opposite. I said, you know what? Fuck that shit. To work on my character, I'm going to go in there. You know, people forget. Like, for me, I never fucking forgot that, you know, before you became a comic, you're a fucking man. You got to act like a fucking man. That's why I love Joe Rogan with all my heart. And I want you guys to give him all the light in the world, because I know Joe for 15 years. And Joe has bought me more fucking steaks than anybody. Joe has done more for me. And one of the things that disappointed me, people always go, oh, you don't go to Comedy Store no more. My answer is, I don't go down there because you need to close one door before you open up another one.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the fucking matter is, the reason why I don't go down there is because when they threw Joe out and Gersh got rid of Joe for jamming up Carlos, that Friday night, all these comics were going to get together and they were going to protest the Comedy Store for getting rid of him. Well, Mitzi Shore said whoever protested the Comedy Store was not allowed to come back.
Wow.
So all these comedians said, fuck the protest, fuck what Joe Rogan did for us, and they went back. I don't talk to those people.
Cool.
I don't see those guys. I don't want to associate with them. That's why I don't go to the fucking store. Somebody hit me today. We're doing a show in April. We need you at the store. I wouldn't step foot in the fucking store out of respect for Joe. because I know what Joe did. Joe stood up for all these motherfuckers. And these are the same people that were in the back of that video clapping and jumping up and down. And now when they see Carlos, they hug him and they kiss him. So I don't fucking deal with comics for that shit because they got no fucking loyalty to themselves. And that's one point. Like, I was still snorting coke when that went down. But, well, I don't know if I was. I don't know what year it was. I think I was at home snorting. But that was one thing that made me open up my eyes. I don't want to hang out with people who don't have my motherfucking back. You run with me, you got to have my back, and I'll have your back. Till this day, I won't step foot in the fucking store. Because out of respect for Joe, he's my friend. He's done more for fucking me than anybody. I give him fucking light. And that's what you do with your friends. You support your fucking friends. You don't go to the store and mingle or whatever. It's over. I don't need them that fucking bad. I stuck to my fucking guns. It's like when people say to me, you don't text. No, I don't fucking text. Why not? Because there's no $100 bills that come to the text, and there's always misunderstandings. It's your football field in this fucking life. It's not life's football field. It's your football field. And you make the calls. You decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and what you're going to stick to it. For years, when I did blow, I wasn't a sheep, but I was very quiet because God forbid it, my little secret got out. God forbid that I stopped doing blow.
Okay.
So I would be very, I would still tell you to suck my dick, but I'd get in my car and go home. And once I stopped doing blow, that was part of it. I wanted to get my character back into this motherfucker, which is all balls. That's what I'm fucking about. I don't give a fuck about where they're going to put me. You know, in this town, nobody will say no to you on the phone, literally. Because you might become a star and they might need you for something else years later.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's always fucking killed me. You gotta say what the fuck you say and what's on your mind. If not, you might as well suck dick and get on all fours, because that's just the beginning of the fucking end. Once you go against what you believe, you might as well bend the fuck over. So I don't do it no more. And I haven't done it for 5, 6, 7, 10 fucking years. And that's why nobody's even heard of me. Because I wouldn't take shit from nobody just to be in a movie or a TV show and some comedy special. I don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is this guy? Put some music on. Let me call this motherfucker and see why he hasn't called. It's 641. I don't know where this motherfucker's at. Maybe he got the wrong number. Maybe he... There you go. A little something for the spirits out there. Pick up the pieces. I play this every time I wake up in the morning. This is what I play, especially on Mondays, out of respect for my mother. If there's somebody in your fucking life, play, light a candle. You gonna call or what? Twice as smart as I. Here's what I'm talking about. Some people just are never fucking satisfied. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's what we're talking
about. It'll be a good call when he calls on
next week.
But you say you have something very interesting that you say. You say, like, in the last Ethical Testaments, you say when you used to be a criminal with someone, if they cheated on their wife or their girlfriend, you wouldn't do business with them because what would they do to me? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. You look at the whole fucking thing. And I got that from Carlo Gambino. You know, it was one of Carlo Gambino's main things, but it's true. If they cheat on their wife, they'll fucking rat on you.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, I just didn't like what went down years ago, and I don't have anything against Carlos. I really don't. I see Carlos, I shake his hand. I got nothing against Carlos. You know, I told him years ago, he said something to me during 9/11, and I think Carlos knows I'll hit him in the fucking head. You know, I don't give a fuck. You know, what really got them mad at me, what really got everybody mad at me, was at Marilyn Martinez's wake. There used to be a comedian named Marilyn Martinez,
mm-hmm.
and there's this guy in town, Jeff Valdez. He runs CTV. He was a comic, and he puts together Latino Laugh Festival and shit. And the guy fucked me and Marilyn over our first year. He made me showcase like 10 times.
Okay.
And he wanted me to work clean. And then he goes, no, you didn't get into the festival. And then after that, he added like a dirty show to the festival. So I never forgot that. You know, it was my first year here. It really hurt my fucking feelings. You know, I didn't know how the business worked. I just believed in men's word.
Yeah.
I thought that a man had his fucking word. So I didn't know. I came old school, but these motherfuckers don't have their fucking word for anything. They won't even look you in the eye when they talk to you. So this went on for years, and then he put me in the festival the following year. But it still didn't click with me, what he had done. It never fucking resonated into, like, I just didn't like him. And then he kept fucking with Marilyn. Marilyn, he had some show on CTV, and he kept fucking with Marilyn. And then he called me to do some show one day. I'm not kidding you, Lee. He offered me $50. And I'm sitting there going, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
So I don't want to even fucking do it. You know, and I called back, and I go, no, I don't want to do it. And then he called back in, and he goes, I'll give you $500. So that's how much of a thief he is. He went from 50 to 500. Most people would go from 50 to 100. He went for 500. And he paid me the money, and it was okay. But, bro, I forgive, but I don't fucking forget. And something about this guy. And Marilyn kept telling me, kept fucking with her. And then Marilyn dies of cancer. And I fly back home. I'm in New York for a benefit, and I fucking come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, I go to the wake. I go to the church because they usually have a, you know, a wake and then they do church. I wasn't here for the wake, so I made it for the church.
Okay.
Then they have the funeral, and then that night they had a thing at the Comedy Store. So I went to this... Lee, talk. Look at me. I went to this fucking wake, right? I go to this wake, and this church function first in the morning, and I see Jeff Valdez. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is this puke doing here?
Yeah.
You know, he's the, I mean, what the fuck's he doing here? And I didn't say nothing. I just played it off. I waved at him. He waved at me. He didn't talk to me. And then that night, I wasn't going to go to the, I had just finished, I just stopped doing blow.
Okay.
I hadn't done blow for like maybe 6 nights.
Oh, right? Jesus.
And I'm about to choke myself. But Superbad had a problem, and I made a promise that if God saved Superbad, I would never do blow again. And I was up to the sixth night, and this is Marilyn's dead now. And they call me up, and they're like, you have to go to the store. She was your best friend. I didn't want to be down there. I don't like none of that shit. I always think that, especially in Hollywood, they turn into a celebrity thing.
Yeah.
It's not about really the pain or what people are going through. So, next thing you know, who shows up? Fucking Jeff Valdez. But it's even worse. They have food in the back.
Okay.
I see him eating the fucking food. I just see him eating the food, and I'm burning. So I got no blow in me. I just lost one of my best friends, and now I got this motherfucker. And I'm at the thing, and somebody goes, you should go up to the stage first. You never know about this, Lee?
No, I've heard parts of the story.
I go up there to the stage first, and I'm on stage. I'm talking about Marilyn, how much I'm going to miss her, and I keep seeing Jeff Valdez sitting there with his wife and his lawyer, and I just fucking go off. I just stopped. I go, I can't do this no more, ladies and gentlemen. I couldn't sit there with this fucking guy being phony. And I just tore into him because he said his claim to fame is he's half Jewish and half Mexican.
Okay.
And I'm like, you're too fucking greasy to be a fucking Jew. You're too much of a piece of shit. And you're too greasy to be a fucking Mexican. You're a piece of shit. And he was with his wife and his lawyer with it.
Oh, Jesus.
And people are like, get off the stage. And I'm going at him. I'm like, fuck you, you slimy motherfucker. And he's like, fuck you. My name's on the wall, too, here at the store. Because he's no comic. He's never said a funny thing in his life.
Okay.
And I go, fuck you. If I get off the stage, I'm going to go over there and make you suck my dick. And Dice and all these guys there. And I go, listen, one more thing. I'm going to get off the stage. I'm going to go in the barn. I'm going to do a fucking shot. When I come back in, if I see you at this fucking thing, I'm going off on you. I went off.
Yeah.
I went to the bar, I'm sure, and people knew. They were following me. They knew I would have fucking killed them how I felt that night. I went in there, him and his wife and his cunt attorney left. They fucking wrote an article about it in the paper. I was going to hook it up this morning. Oh, fuck yeah, to wait till that gone off. And the fucking, listen to what happened. He called the newspaper and threatened to sue the newspaper for putting the story in there.
Oh, I thought you meant he put it in the paper. The
papers The papers did, but the LA Times did, in the front page of entertainment. So the fucking next thing you know, you know, I'm getting calls and all this shit. I can't believe it. Like, all these people went against me, knowing that this Jeff Valdez was the biggest piece of shit. Some of the Mexicans stuck up for me. They were like, bro, what you did was brilliant. Again, a Mexican tortures Mexicans, and fucking Cubans got to come to the rescue, because God forbid somebody say something to hurt their feelings. You know what? I'm not the funniest guy in the world, and I'm not the best actor, and I'm not the best writer, but I know I got a lot of heart, and I know I always fucking work. You know, every once in a while, somebody needs a smack on the fucking head. So I didn't see this guy for like 2 or 3 years. 2007, I didn't see him for like 2 or 3 years, and I was doing the Ice House.
I know this story.
And it's funny because Felicia wanted to come up to the Ice House with me one night, and I go, all right, let's go up there. This was way before Beauty and the Beast. And the next thing you fucking know, I go up there, and Rudy calls me, and he goes, Jeff's going to be up here tonight. You know, is there going to be a problem? And I go, I won't say nothing unless he says something.
Okay.
So he started in early. I'm in the green room minding my business. He comes into the green room. He don't belong in the green room. He comes into the green room because he's doing a guest set. He ain't even a fucking comic. He comes into the green room. He's talking all this shit. You know, I'm here, and he's half drunk. And I don't say a word. And then I walk out, and he's sitting there with Shang Forbes talking about some shit. And he looks at me, and he goes, and Shang goes, are you going to be cool tonight, Joey? And I go, it all depends on this cunt. And we went at it. And this motherfucker's sitting there going, fuck you, let's fight. He's calling me out, Lee, fuck you, you're a fat fuck, you're a coke fiend. He's saying all this shit to me, right? And I'm like, whatever, you fucking pussy. He goes, let's go outside. So I looked at him, right, and I go, I'm going to fuck this motherfucker up, but I'm going to throw him for a loop, Juan Tuero style.
I was just going to say, it sounded like your stepfather.
I looked at him, and I spit in his fucking face with one of those good weed clammies.
Oh.
And as he went to spit back at me, I ducked, and I got him with a bit slap to the bottom of the chin very lightly. And this motherfucker pops up, and he's like, I'm calling the police. All that shit you talk for 20 minutes, how you're a tough guy, and let's fight. Now you're calling the police. But it's hysterical because he fucking... We get in the, you know me, a cop ain't gonna catch me.
By the time your hand hit his face, you were already walking
towards walking towards the fucking car. And the beauty of it is that I picked my buddy Rick Ramos. I'm walking with him, and he's like, Joey, what are you gonna do? I go, come on, Rick, just stay close. Give me a ride home, because Felicia drove me up there.
Okay.
So it's funny because as I'm walking out, the cops are coming in the fucking hallway as usual, and they can't tell it's me because they're looking at body language. I know how to avoid the fucking cops. I slow down my body language like nothing's going on.
Yeah.
And there's a helicopter.
They
it's Pasadena. You know, these fucking momos. You can't do nothing. I get in the car with Rick. We hit the one street, and then we hit the main street to hit the fucking 134 to go east. And right there, the phone rings, and it's Felipe. And he goes, fool, where are you? I go, I'm in the car. What's going on up there? The cops, they goes, yeah. They're scraping the spit off his face and putting it in a CSI bag, right? He's saying all this shit to me, right? And I'm loving it. My dick. You know, in my mind, I had closure for Marilyn. Marilyn had a problem with him, and I had closure for me. Sometimes you got to smack somebody in the face to get fucking closure. So I come home, and the next day, the fucking cops call me. And nobody said a word. They told them nothing, and they got nothing. All the fucking Mexicans, the real Mexicans, didn't say a word. They interviewed everybody. The staff at the Ice House got interviewed.
I was going to say, when we do the testicle testaments, they still come up and talk to you like, dude, that's funny.
Oh, yeah, they still come up and say years later, that was great that night when you smacked them. Dog, everybody loved it because people know in this town when you deserve a smack. The problem with this town is they don't want to throw the smack, or they don't want to call you a cunt because they won't work again. And at the end of the day, your manhood is all that fucking matters. Because if you don't have your manhood and your cock, you got dick in this fucking life. You might as well bend over and let the fucking Arabs and Russians and everybody else fuck you in the ass. Because it's all over. What the fuck is going on over there in the embassies, huh?
It's fucking crazy, man. I was watching this video today, and it broke my heart. It was this kid, like younger than me, 21, was in Afghanistan. He called home. He was 2 days from coming home, and he said, hey, Dad, you're going to have to tell Mom I don't think I'm coming home, because they have a big problem over there now where the Afghani police officers they're training are killing them because they don't want them there. So this 21-year-old kid, he knew something was going to happen, and on the base, they're getting shot now. Like every other week, there's new people getting shot, and it's just... I actually had a kid I went to high school with. A couple of them die, and it's just... It's unbelievable. It's heartbreaking.
That's fucking amazing, man. It's going to end December 12th. I thought it was my baby coming. That's the end of the world in my fucking... You know, my wife is pregnant. That's my end of my fucking world right there. But I didn't know. And all of a sudden, you read about all these embassies and all this other shit and what's crack-a-lackin' in the fucking world. And that's it, man. I can't fucking believe Frankie lost a fucking number.
That's all right.
You know, it just fucking goes to... But, you know what? Put some music on for these fucks. Maybe I'll get Martin Perez to call.
All right, let me find some music.
Let me get Martin Perez to call real quick, if he could do it. If he could do it, we'll talk to fucking Martin Perez and blow you motherfuckers out of the water
here. Yeah, that'd be great. And Martin Perez is a great story. He his father was the driver for that guy. That's a...
Batista, you fuck. Batista and the Godfather, you know what I'm saying? So let's fucking make this happen. Where are you at? You still shitting? You on your way? Oh, you're in your car. I don't know if you could call in. I thought you would be in your office and you could call from a solid phone. But we'll do Martin Perez on fucking Wednesday, all right? I love you, cocksucker. I got you on the phone right now. I love you, Martincito. Bye. Yeah, Martin Perez was going to call originally, but when I talked to Frank, he goes, no, I'll call today. Martin Perez is going to be a great fucking story. Martin Perez's father was one of Batista's fucking drivers.
That's unbelievable.
And what happened was, I went to Eddie's house a few weeks ago, Eddie Bravo's house, and we were watching TV with his wife or whatever, and he had a documentary on about Cuba, and the next thing you fucking know, I see Martin Perez. They're talking about...
You saw him on TV?
Yeah, they're doing a documentary about Batista.
Oh, shit.
And also they showed all these pictures from 1950 and Batista. And also I see Martin Perez standing next to him. Not the kid that's calling in. His father, you fucking Momo. What the fuck? Are you okay today?
Yeah.
Are you okay today? Marilyn Monroe? Really, you fuck?
I don't know how old I should stab you from before. I don't know how old the egg restaurant is.
That's why I need you smoking dope in the morning. I know you didn't know how to beg you. He's taking these little hits like a 16-year-old girl sucking a dick. You ever see when a 16-year-old sucks a dick? They suck it like they don't want it. That's how he was. I had to get the lighter and force him, for God's sake.
It's 6 in the morning, man.
No, but that's when you're supposed to get high. This is the church of what's happening now. How are you going to show up with no fucking bullets in your gun, cocksucker? Hold on. Ooh. The first fart of the day. That's the prime. Listen, I've had a shit for the last hour. Put that air on for 2 minutes. I'm sweating here. I'm telling you guys, it's good. Oh, that fart's tremendous. I gotta light a candle.
That's the best. I work in an office when the room's closed. That's the best when you're alone and you fart and it's just the door's closed and it's the most fun thing in the world.
You're disgusting. You know, I don't want this fart on nobody.
You just said it was amazing.
Yeah, because for me, not for me, because I'm here sitting alone.
Oh no, I'm in an office alone by myself.
Listen, the best thing in life. I fart on the. There was a guy on the plane yesterday. Somebody smelled like fucking armpit.
Oh.
And it was either the guy next to me, or the guy two from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll tolerate fucking armpit for 2 seconds. And there's nothing worse than when somebody fucking hugs you and they put the armpit on your fucking arm, and you have a 10:30 show later on. Like, that's why after fucking shows, if you got armpit, don't come over to me, dog. Shake my hand from a distance. Because that fucking onion smell destroys my insides. It fucking destroys me, Lee.
Yeah.
I don't like that onion smell. This motherfucker sat next to me yesterday. First off, I get the premium seats. I didn't have enough points for the first class on this flight.
Okay.
So I just got the larger leg room and the premium seats. So I always get the early board. So I get on there first and put my shit on the overhead. That's a sleep apnea machine. I don't travel with a fucking computer. I got to travel with a sleep apnea machine. It's like $4,000. You know, and I don't want to lose that thing. And if it falls or something, the computer timing goes off. It's a computer in there.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have to send a card. For you guys that have sleep apnea, they have a couple different machines. I forget the one I have. It's two level. That's why when they test you by level.
Okay.
And what I do with mine is I take the computer card out once a month. I put it in an envelope and I mail it in. They send me a report. And they send the other report to my doctor.
Oh, okay.
So you could see what I'm doing every night. Every night by the fucking thing. It'll even break it down if you have alcohol. Because you'll be dehydrated.
Oh, shit.
So it breaks it fucking down. So this thing is very sensitive. Like, it has a humidifier in it. A lot of sleep apnea. For people who don't know, sleep apnea is when you have fucking... You're a fat fuck. Your neck gets big. And you don't have to be fat. Joe Rogan has it. Eddie Bravo has it. Putting a certain amount of weight on. I think it's chest weight or whatever is around here or something. I don't know how it works. You know, Wikipedia. It's the number one growing disease in men.
And people die from it all
people
the time.
People fucking die. Ratchel got it going. What's his name had it? The football player. The Philadelphia Eagle.
Okay.
The defensive end. That's how it got there. That year, the webpage was getting 25,000 hits a year. The day he died, it got 25,000 hits that day.
Oh, shit.
Because men didn't know. They just kept saying, I have a problem sleeping. Maybe they're single. Nobody knows they're snoring. That shit will kill you because it raises your blood pressure. I mean, it fucked me up. I was up to 415. That's why I have, you know, when people consider diets, they always say, well, I'm eating better and I'm going for a walk. If you don't sleep 8 hours, your diet and all that shit means nothing because your cortisol levels go up.
Yeah, you're telling me
yesterday. Your body yesterday goes into shock. When I was at 415, I was already starting to get the Bela Lugosi look. With the ball on my neck, you know what I'm saying? It was fucking crazy, you know? And once you see that, because at night when you're trying to breathe, your body goes into fucking danger. Your body's in danger.
It thinks you're dying, yeah.
It thinks you're dying. So it starts shooting out that fucking cortisol. That's like the fucking, the shit Joe Rogan talks about, DMT. It's the last thing that your brain sees before you die. So that's why you get all happy. You know, with cortisol, don't work like that. I'm just teasing you motherfuckers. But that's why you start getting that ball on your neck. When you see fat people and they start getting that ball in their neck and the back of their neck's getting big, they got one foot in the grave, one a banana peel. Because that's it. That cortisol's taking over. That's where the diabetes, that's where all this shit. And I may be wrong. I mean, read it up. But I know what I'm talking about because I looked into this shit with sleep apnea.
And you lived it, yeah.
I lived it. I mean, I knew I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything. So I get on the fucking plane early. That's the point of the story, Lee.
Yeah.
And I put my bag over it so I could watch it.
Okay.
This dumb fuck doesn't get early boarding. He sits next to me. And I'm sitting there with my iPod on. And I look up and I see this motherfucker taking my bag on. Right away I call time out. Why is your hands on my bag?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I got to put $4,000. That's got nothing to do with me. I told him the truth. It got nothing to do with me. You should have been here early. That's my bag. Leave it up there. And he just looked at me. When people come and touch my compartment, I tell them no.
Yeah.
A lot of people sit like in 22D, and I'm like in 6A, and they want to put shit in my thing. No, dog. That's my fucking thing. I pay for the seat. If it's filled and all three of us have our shit in that compartment, then you can put, because you know, everybody today wants to fly with carry-on. Oh, the more carry-on you bring on, for you to zip in and out of there, whatever the fuck you do, the more carry-on you fucking bring on, the more fucking trouble's going to be the seating. That's why whenever you get on a plane now, at the end, people pointing shit in. They don't know where to go. They tell you, check it out the fucking gate, because everybody wants to fucking check your shit.
Yeah.
The only thing you should have on you is your computer, a little bit of weed in your nutsack, in case a plane goes down. You're not on some fucking island without nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because that'd be the worst. You float not there is bad enough. But if I had rolling papers in a baggie, waterproof ones, or a pipe and a lighter, floating out there till fucking the U.S. Army shows up,
yeah,
is always better. And I'm just fucking around here. But I get on this fucking plane there, and these motherfuckers are stinking up. One of these two fucking guys stinks. So after like 15 minutes, I got to say something. I look at both of them, and I go, somebody on this motherfucking flight forgot to wash their pussy. And they both looked at
me.
You
say that?
Oh, fuck yeah. You know me. You know me, you gotta say something. You gotta wear fucking deodorant. You can't go out. If you wanna stink, that's your personal fucking business. But if you wanna sit next to people like a civilized human being on a plane, and you're gonna for 3 hours and you're gonna smell like fucking a tzatziki juice from a gyro, that's your. I gotta say something to you, because you're invading my motherfucking space. It's like me fucking coming in with no armpit and fucking sitting next to you for 6 hours on a fucking flight. You gotta wash yourself. It's, nigga, what is it? Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You gotta wash your pussy before you leave the house. You gotta brush your teeth. You gotta. That's what the church of what's happening now is. You gotta be sharp.
Yeah.
You gotta be fucking. These motherfuckers, oh, we'll go for breakfast. We're not gonna take a shower. Take a shower. Takes you 5 more minutes to wash your balls, wash your ass. What if you run into a fucking school bus full of fucking women that haven't sucked a dick in a year? They got a flat tire. And here you are with stinky fucking nuts because you were going only to eat breakfast. And enough with the fucking sandals. Oh, every time I see somebody with a sandal, man, I step on their fucking foot on purpose by mistake. I step on their fucking foot. You're a grown fucking man with sandals, and they think they're so fucking cool. On the flight back here yesterday, was a bunch of those Bahama Mama guys.
Yeah.
I used to have this friend, this fucking idiot, Gavin Boyd, who thought he was a fucking producer. That shit went out the window. He ended up back in Idaho. Now he's back here doing short films for some motherfucking mook. And he was one of those guys that always had the sandals on. He was always too fucking cool. Wait till I step on your fucking foot and see how cool it is now. You got your fucking sandals on. What if Godzilla comes and you got sandals on and you start running? You're going to lose one of those fucking sandals. Now you got to run like Jesus with 1 foot fucking flat and 1 fucking sandal. Put fucking shoes on and boots when you leave the house. Unless you're going to the beach, you shouldn't have fucking sandals on. You're going to roll or something. And you know what you need to... But they want to fly with their fucking sandals. What if the plane goes down and we got stuck in fucking Cuba and you got to walk a half a mile? You got to think of this shit. No fucking sandals. Everybody thinks they're cool like Gilligan.
and that's the thing. And then their feet will stink. It's unbelievable.
It's disgusting. Put some fucking shoes on. You're a grown fucking man. A woman was supposed to see her toes. Was supposed to fantasize about whacking off on that fucking shoe polish. But a fucking man? Come on, man. These fucking guys are out of control. And that's what the Church of What's Happening Now is about. Look, when the Church of What's Happening Now was introduced to me, it was introduced to me by a man named Wayne Means. I was 27 years old. I was about 6 months away from getting in trouble for kidnapping. I thought I had all the fucking answers. He took over a Subaru store where I worked at in Boulder. I owe a lot to the guys that I worked. There was two guys selling cars I owe my life to. Wayne Means and a guy named Jim Handy. Jim Handy was my manager at Toyota. Jim Handy came years later. Jim Handy taught me how to, you know, he put together in my mind how to become a comic, how it was possible. Because at the car lot, he would make you write your goals daily. Like, what are you going to do today? I'm going to sell two cars. How are you going to do that? I'm going to fucking, you know, talk to 10 people. I'm going to call 10 people. And I'm going to be at my best. You know, that's what Jim Handy taught me. That came later. But I didn't have a father, you know, all those years. Right before I went to jail, I met this Wayne Means guy. And he used to tell me, bro, we're from the Church of What's Happening Now, today. We don't give a fuck what's going to happen next week or next month. Today. How are we going to make it happen today? Well, to make it happen today, you got to be sharp. Your hair's got to be combed. Your fucking breath's got to be good. Your shoes have to be fucking shined. Your pants got to look decent. And when you talk to somebody, you got to look fucking professional. Any fucking circle. You got to be sharp with these people today. It's 2012. People are starving. And you want to walk around with fucking sandals on like a half a fucking fag. No. You're a man. Get out there and talk to fucking people. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all. This is easy, bro.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to be somebody else. Everybody wants to be a fucking fake. Look at me. I'm a fat fuck. What can I do to change? People always go, well, Joey, you got that 1910 hairdo. So what do you want me to do? Get a new Justin Bieber? Can you imagine Uncle Joey with a Justin fucking Bieber hairdo?
Well, what's next? Make that online?
Licking somebody's asshole for $10? What's fucking next? What do you have left if you don't have your fucking self?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck no more. It's all about the reefer. It's Monday. All I'm doing is trying to get you the fuck out there to be the best you can be and to shove it into these motherfuckers' asses before they try to shove it into you. I told you about Saturday. This fucking guy in Minneapolis shows up to the show Friday night, Lee.
Oh,
and we're taking pictures. Sorry I keep wiping my face if you're watching. I got cat from that fucking Finny that cucks up is always shedding that skinny fuck. Some guy comes up to me Friday night, and these people who think that you just walked out of the fucking banana field. There's people who treat me like I just walked off of the banana field.
Yeah.
He comes in with his wife, real cute, and they say to me, hey, bro, can we take a picture? Sure, let's take a picture. I giggle with them, giggle with them, Google. I giggle with them, getting fucked up on that fire. I giggle with them a little bit, and next thing you know, they're like, can we tape something? He's like, could you tape something for me? I'm like, sure. I go, what do you want me to say? He goes, Ali, whatever, is fucking number one. I don't know what his name is. Will is going to win this thing. I go, Will's going to win this thing.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. That's it. Thank you, man. We love you. We listen to the podcast. Boom, they leave. Next fucking night, first show ends, and I got all these people, and we're talking, and I see this guy, and I go, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, remember me from last night? I go, yeah, you're back. You came to the show. He goes, no. He goes, this is what happened. My wife didn't hit the fucking tape button last night.
Jesus
Christ. So I know we did it twice. We had done it twice. I even gave him another one.
Yeah, there's so no way she didn't hit it.
Yeah, she didn't hit it. So I go, all right, we'll do it real quick. Let's go over to the, because we're at the Mall of America. Have you ever been to the fucking Mall of America?
No, that's tremendous. You tell me, it's insane.
Tremendous. And don't be a fat fuck and go to the mall. You'll never make it. It's 4 days if you're a fat fuck. I burned a ton of calories there. So we go out to the parking lot, but they got bikes, they got dogs, you got to be fucking careful. So we go outside, we're smoking out there, we're talking to the people, and he's lurking like a pending fucking dame. He's there giggling at my jokes. We're all talking, and he's there giggling, trying to be cute. And finally, the line draws down a little bit. And he walks over, and he's like, so you ready to do it? And I'm there with two other comics. They're getting like a pipe full ready. And he goes, all right, let's do this, man. And all of a sudden, he goes, you ready to go? And I go, yeah. And all of a sudden, he goes, hold on, let me get my friend with the camera. Your friend with a fucking camera? And he's like, this is what we're going to do tonight. You're going to tell him, because I'm doing a poker tournament. So I want you to say this up front. Can you remember this? And he's just saying this speech to me. And I look at him, and I go, yo. We're in the middle of a fucking show here. I got to go do another show. Are you fucking serious?
And even if you weren't.
Yeah. I go, are you fucking serious? I know. Get the fuck out of here. I'm doing what I did last night. He said, come on, man. Can't you do it? I go, no. We're doing what we fucking did last night. And let's fucking do this. And he's pissed. I could tell he's literally pissed. But these people want to take advantage. Like, I need to do an advertising for his fucking bowling or his poker fucking league. Instead of just telling me the truth, he's trying to connive me that his wife didn't play tape. I looked him right in the face and I go, I'll tape some, but I'm going to tape what I did last night.
Yeah.
And I could see that he was like, Doug, well, what about your agent? Should I go, no, you're trying to pull a quick one on me. You're trying to take fucking advantage of me. You know, this started as a friendship. I don't want no fucking fans. I really don't. I told Rogan, like, well, this ain't no fans. Fans when we were a little kid, we could put a picture of Julius Erving on the fucking wall. That's a fan. We're all friends. We talk online. We commit on Twitter. We got no fans. I don't want nobody standing there like a fucking Momo, like he's going to suck my dick if I got an 8-ball. I don't need that shit.
No, people do that all the time, and the difference is, like, on the plane, if I was sitting on the plane, honestly, I probably wouldn't have said it. I would have told my friends later and complained about it.
That they stink?
Yeah.
No, you gotta say so. No, that's why God gave you a fucking mouth.
Yeah.
That's why God gave you a mouth. I don't want this guy to spread the stink on a different fucking flight. Why should they? This ain't fair.
Yeah.
Just cause, and you know, they all have their reasons. Well, I don't like wearing deodorant because it harms the fuck. No, no, no. You know what harms the ultraviolet rays? That stink that's coming out of your armpit and the rest of the stink that's coming out of your fucking ass. That's what harms the fucking environment. That you have to wear fucking deodorant. You gotta put the. I don't want to smell nobody stinky around me. Deadheads are dead. And I don't give a fuck. You have to take. And even if you don't take a shower, you take a Puerto Rican shower, which I've taken at an airport. I was in an airport stuck 2 days. You take a bath in the sink. You ever take a bath in the fucking sink,
yeah.
Puerto Rican style? You do your hair. You do your balls. You get a towel. And it's tough to do that in San Francisco. There was a guy that kept in 85. I'm in San Francisco, and it was like hanging out. When I was a kid, I went to a porn theater one time.
Okay.
My buddy's like, let's go out to like this Queen Mary in Jersey on a Sunday night. And when you go to the bathroom, a guy always pops up and pisses next to you. You ever been in that situation?
No.
Well, as you're pissing, some guy will pop up and start pissing next to you and look at you and smile. And then you leave, And you don't think none of it. But when you come back to pee 20 minutes later, the same guy pops up to you. Nobody could piss this much. What they are perverts. They hang out in the fucking bathroom. And they try to pick you up. And in San Francisco, they had one of those in 85. A guy that would pop next to you and smile and make believe. Like, hey, how are you? Are you from, where are you going to? Tulsa? Get the fuck out of here, you professional top trucker. But, they, you know, there was no PSA in those days. No TSA. Nobody was patting you down. This, you know, these fucking perverts were going to airports. This is airports in 85. I got stuck there.
Oh, like, you just be people from San Francisco.
Yeah,
oh.
No, I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be hacky. This is a true story. You know, in 85, I was staying at the Virginian Hotel. Now it's the, where people come from all over the world, hostel. It's okay. Down in the Tenderloin. It used to be the Virginian Hotel. And I would follow the maid every day and steal her fucking keys and go into people's rooms. That's how dumb the maids were in those days. Oh, shit. This is before the electronic thing. I put on a suit and go to the Hilton across the street. And fucking follow the maids. And when they go in the room, they leave the keys in the fucking door. I just take the key and take this, the main key off the ring and then just drop them on the... Oh, come on.
Are you serious?
Oh, fuck yeah. I was the last of the real deal dog in 85. Nobody was running like me. But I was living at the Virginian Hotel. And I got the keys to the maid. Then there was a guy that was taking action. I would rob him once a week. You know, I just had their little keys. And I would go to their room and rob them here, rob them there.
Stop every week.
Oh, I swear to God. And one day I busted into a room and there was German tourists. Okay. Fuck them. They're German. Fuck those motherfuckers. We run with the Jews anyway. So I go in their room and I'm looking through shit. I can't find them. All of a sudden I see the door starting to fucking open.
Oh, shit.
I lock the door and I'm in there hiding. What am I going to do? I look out the balcony. I'm on the second floor. I can't jump on the fucking ledge, off this fucking ledge. So I sit in the bathroom. All of a sudden they're like, we call the police. The police come. I open the door and they're like, what are you doing in here? I go, dog, I was trying to get towels and I chased the maid. And I came in here and I talked to police and I made up some story and they did a background check and I really had nothing at that time. And they're like, we don't know what to do. And the German tourists were pissed, so they didn't arrest me. But I knew they were coming back. At that time, I was running fucking scams. And, you know, and they had like a little Asian town up in there. Well, the whole fucking town is Asian. San Francisco. Yeah. But they called it something. It was by Van Ness, like this Asian cultural mall. And in those days, traveler's checks, you could just sign them. Everybody else asked you for an ID. The Asians didn't give a fuck because American Express would replace them anyway. So I would go up there and buy like a pack of Lifesaver for a dollar, but give them a $50 fucking bill, a traveler's check.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened. So they were looking for me for the traveler's checks, and then here I am trying to rob these German fucking tourists. So I went to the airport. I had no money for a plane ticket. They caught me in between the whole scam. I had a girlfriend at the time who ended up being my daughter's mother. I put her on the flight first. And I stayed like a man. What a mistake that was, that dirty bitch. If I'd have known she turned out to be a fucking dirty whore, I would have left her in San Francisco. But we went to Reno first on a bus, came back, went to San Francisco. I had to wait $2 for Western, 2 days for Western Union. So I lived at the fucking SFO for 2 days.
Oh, shit. That's
shoplifting
miserable.
Food and taking showers at the motherfucking thing and walking around like I knew people. You know, they didn't have TVs or computers then. When you were in an airport for 2 days, you were stuck, bitch. You were deep in thought. You know what I'm saying? You're like, fuck it, should I just start walking?
Yeah, that's crazy. I couldn't imagine just living in that
man.
And no one would say, I mean, I guess there are people that are all night.
Nobody knew nothing in those days. It wasn't like now that people watching, you couldn't go through gates. Remember, in the old days, I could walk you all the way to your fucking plane and hang out there.
Oh, okay.
You know, in the old days, I could walk you all the way to the fucking bottom. So, yeah, it's changed a lot, man. Airports, you'll never see that ever again. If you were stuck, you could drive to a fucking airport, go in there, go up and sleep in an airport. Who's going to say something to you? It's long-range parking. I don't know how many times we went to an airport and just chilled for a day or two.
Really? That's unbelievable.
So what do we got, Lee? What do you got this week? Tonight we got a great game. Atlanta-Denver.
Oh, that's... I can't believe it right now. You said Denver is... They're giving points to Denver?
Yeah, they're giving that's 2 points to Denver, 3 points. And the over number is 52. Well, so I'm staying away from this. I don't even fuck with those things. And what else is going on this week, Lee? You got UFC... 1 motherfucking 50-something. I'm all out of fucking numbers. Who knows? I know it's Belfort and fucking John Jones. Fear of a black planet. You follow me?
Oh yeah. That someone made a video you put up last night. It's like the best of you.
140 minutes. It's 140 f bombs. Tremendous. Yeah,
and
brilliant.
And whoever and like halfway through it, it's you doing Fear of a Black Planet in front of John Jones.
Oh fuck yeah! I don't fuck around. Da 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 da. Yeah. You got, in fact, give me a Public Enemy to close out this motherfucker. Today. Hey, guys, thank you very much for paying attention. Thank you for listening to the Church of What's Happening Now. to my main man, Lee Syatt, the flying fucking Jew. I love him with all. And there's another guy. Listen, guys, he's been coming to me lately saying people are following him on Twitter. This kid's a fucking sharp guy, and I love him with all my heart. I break his balls. Yesterday, I had to break his balls. He was talking about $250,000, Louis C.K., because we're thinking of doing the special together. He's going to tape it, but Lee always wants to be like, you know, Johnny fucking, you know, he wants to be Martin Scorsese, and all we got is $2.
Yeah, but...
You know, he wants to get cameras. He's telling me, cameramen. What fucking cameramen? You're the cameraman.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being Martin Scorsese and you think we can just show up and go to Best Buy and get a camera and, hey, we're just going to film this tonight.
Nah, this fucking guy is the only Jew that buys retail. I never met a Jew that bought retail. You're the only fucking guy. I say, go buy a camera, dog. There's $1,000. Get on the phone. You're a Jew. That's what your people do.
Get on
the fucking phone. Call the president. Say, I'm a fucking Jew. Get it down to $2. That's what Jews do. This is the only producer who wants to pay top dollar for everything. Oh, it's $200. What $200? Get on the phone. Tell them your people. Your fuck. Talking about your people.
Oh, that's
I
funny.
Love you. No, Lee is give him all the respect in the world. He's my little brother.
Well, thanks, man.
Lee's Lee. I love him with all my heart. I torment him. I fucking love him. He torments me. I think he fucks with me too sometimes.
A little bit, just cause
Marilyn Monroe. I know, because he like these motherfuckers know I get riled up, and they love to see it. Wait till I have a heart attack. Wait till I have a heart attack. They're gonna be like the fucking guy on Sons of Anarchy. They're gonna feel bad about it and shit.
I thought it might have been an old place. I didn't know if it was Marilyn Monroe. But you wanted us to, we want to bring up, we have enough song intros, so we're going to make it up this week. We're going to look at it and decide. We got a bunch of great ones. Thank you very much. And then also, we're going to move to Ustream. We're making the move, and within a week or two, so keep looking on Joey's Twitter, and we're going to make a move at some point.
And that's it, brother. You never tell about a move you're going to make till you tell the people at fucking Momo. See, you fucked it up again. You're trying to tell the move. We're going to surprise you. We're going to put some stuff in the studios and get some color in here. But let me tell you something, guys. From the bottom of my... And Lee knows. When we started this podcast, swear up fucking business. This podcast was started just to have an extra voice. That's it. Once a week for you guys. Give you a little bit more content. We never dreamt. Never fucking dreamt. This was not in our dreams. For to even be in the top 10. What you guys have done, thank you. From the bottom of the least. Look at the fucking camera and say thank you.
That's
a boy. Don't look at me. Look at the camera, cocksucker.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, I knew people would like it and like you, but it just...
No. You guys have made our year. From the CD to the DVD to the Love Your Show at the shows, I can't even fucking begin. I can't even begin. I'm 50 years old, and you guys have, you know... Stuck a finger in my ass, as they say. If I'm saying to you, where am I at this week, Lee? Thursday, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin at Champs. Tickets on
brown paper tickets.
And on Friday, I'm in Germantown in Milwaukee, my favorite fucking place. A shout out to my brother Duke motherfucking Rufus out there, the Muay Thai and all the boys he's got in his fucking camp. I love Duke. I'm going to try to stop by and throw some side kicks for Jesus. But Friday night, brown paper tickets. We're in Germantown. Tickets are $20. It's myself and Duncan motherfucking Trump.
Oh, shit.
Somebody emailed me. They're like, $20, Joey, for Duncan. I said, it's two of us for fucking
$20. For $20?
Two of us.
You can't go to a movie.
You know,
for
you go to a comedy club sometimes, it's $20 just for fucking me. I don't make the fucking prices, you know. But listen, whatever you can do, I'll either see you Thursday in Madison or Friday in Milwaukee. You're right. But we're doing another church Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we're doing a special. Post fucking UFC, pre NFL, church of what's happening now, coming at you, explosives. We're even going to see if Jesus shows up this week. We love you, motherfuckers, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening to us every week. Play a little, go out music, a little Public Enemy. What do you got, dog?
Fear of a Black Panther.
Oh, shit.
What's the deal? What's your latest hit, brother?
Fear of a Black Planet.
See you Wednesday, cocksuckers. Have a great day. Knock them the fuck dead.
Bye, guys.
Love you.